Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, seeing then, I'm reading from the King James, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. And the Greek word there for that word, hold fast, or let us hold fast, is homologia, and it just means to say the same thing. Say the same thing as what? This is what it just said here. Let us hold fast, and some of the other modern translations, the New International Version, it says, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. The plain English says, let us hold fast to the declaration of our faith. What's the declaration of your faith? Jesus is Lord. He was raised from the dead, and he is Lord. That's the declaration of my faith. I believe that he was raised from the dead, and he is my Lord. I confess that. I believed it and confessed it, and profession was made unto salvation. So we're to hold fast to that profession of faith. That he was raised from the dead. He is my Lord. Lord what? Lord over everything that he conquered. Yes. He conquered the devil. He conquered sin. He conquered everything. Yes. Everything that sin represents, he is Lord over. Yes. So that means if he's my Lord, then I have dominion in Christ over that. Does that not mean that? So we're to hold firmly, hold fast to that profession of faith. The Barclay translation says, we must never lose our grip of faith we have publicly professed. Don't lose grip. Don't lose a hold on that. The Amplified says, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. The Hebrews Names version, it says, let us hold tightly to our confession. So you could say, you know, when something says hold fast, it's almost like saying hold, hold. Yeah. Because when you hold fast on something, if I'm fastly on something, what does that mean? I've taken grip of it firmly. So it's almost like saying, hold, hold. Or you could say, as the translation say, get a grip on this. Get a grip on what? Your profession. Or you could say, get a grip on your lip. That's what it means. Get a grip on your profession of faith. Get a grip on your lip. So your confession is either going to lead to salvation, and it's going to magnify Jesus as Lord, or your confession is going to magnify the circumstances and the problem. One or the other. If Jesus is Lord, then he's Lord over that circumstance. That means he's Lord over depression. He is Lord over lack. He is Lord over sickness. He's Lord over every problem that the devil brings. He's Lord over it. That means if he's in me, I am also over it. I'm not under it. So when we profess that he's Lord, that means my profession of faith needs to be in line with what he said, isn't it? Isn't that true? My profession needs to be what he said. Not what I say about the problem. What does he say about the problem? He is Lord. It also means to declare openly, to profess oneself the worshiper of one. To hold fast means to stay fully committed to, or our confession or profession. We're just giving you some little information here. It says that homologia comes from two root words, homo, H-O-M-O, which means the same, and logia means words spoken. So to profess means to speak the same words or say the same thing. That's what that means. It means to say the same thing as God says. What is he saying? And of course, it is implied that it's referring to saying the same thing as God. Or in other words, speaking the words of God. Therefore, the expression, let us hold fast our profession or confession, literally means let us stay fully committed to saying the same thing as God, that is, saying God's word. That's what that means. So it says, hold fast to saying what God says. That's what that means. Get a grip on that. Don't lose grip. That's why we've been talking in some of the past lessons when it says, fight the good fight of faith, hold fast. First Timothy 6, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life whereunto thou also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We're to lay hold on eternal life. So this fight of faith is to try to get us to loosen our grip on what we profess. The pressure, the frustration. See, one thing you need to keep in mind, when you get in the arena where God is, the devil will lose every time. When you step over into his arena, he's the strong man, you're going to lose. But the minute you get over into the arena of faith and love and the word, he loses every time. Why? Because he was defeated by the word. And so the minute we want to step over into what we see and what we sense and feel, we're going to lose. If you're moved by the sense realm, you'll lose. But we need to hold fast the profession of our faith that Jesus was raised from the dead and defeated the devil. He's defeated. So really, we're not fighting the devil. He's already defeated. But we're in a faith fight. Now let's turn over to Romans 10. Let's look at verse 8, just kind of going back through some things that we shared on Wednesday. Romans 10, starting in verse 8. And this word profession is the same Greek word for confession, which is used in this verse of scriptures in Romans 10. It says, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now, here if you'll notice, and of course we know this, he's not talking here about the confession of sin. He's talking about the confession of the Lordship of Jesus. You know, you could confess your sin all day long and never experience salvation. Did you ever think about that? It didn't say confess, it said confess and believe that he was raised from the dead. See, so there's something significant about his death, going to hell, and being raised from the dead. And so just the confession of your sin doesn't bring salvation. It's the confession and belief in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead and he is Lord. Lord over what? Lord over everything that the devil brings. He's defeated. He is defeated. So here you can see, and back up to Romans chapter 4, and we highlighted this on Wednesday, chapter 4 and verse 25, says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The New King James Version, sometimes the King James is a little obscure because we're not used to Old English and the way it's written. But the New King James Version, it says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. So that means Jesus wasn't raised from the dead until we were declared justified. It wasn't his sin. He went because of what? Our offenses. In the same thing with the Young's literal translation, it says, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised up because of our being declared righteous. When we were declared righteous, when sin was paid for and mankind was declared righteous, he was let go. He was released and he was raised from the dead. So you can see here that this confession of ours precedes salvation. Your confession is what we were saying here, singing before. Let the word do the work. Your word, your confession of faith precedes the reality of it. So your confession of faith preceded your salvation. That means your confession of faith precedes your prosperity. Your confession of faith precedes your healing. That's why we're to walk by faith and not by sight. So that's important to know, and it's important to keep that in mind, that our confession of faith precedes salvation. And of course, that word salvation means so many things other than just being saved. It means to be healed. It means to be free. It means to be set free from every kind of problem that sin brings. Everything. So that means you're a victor over it. There isn't anything that can come and knock at your door that go, oh my God, that caught God by surprise. You are in Christ a victor over it. You have the victory over it. What does it say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means I have the victory over all things through him who got the victory. Right? So that means I shouldn't be taken by surprise. I have the victory over it. Even when it doesn't look like it. I'm going to do what? Hold fast. I'm going to keep holding and hold tightly this profession of faith that I have the victory over this. I was sharing on Wednesday, and we sell this in the bookstore, the healing CD and book by Mark Hankins, but it's really Trina Hankins. And a number of years ago, she had an inoperable brain tumor. And he shares, Mark Hankins shares, and she does also, that 8 days, the doctors said, well, there's nothing we can do. But we're going to go in and do some exploratory surgery, and it's going to leave her paralyzed for the rest of her life, so forth and so on. Great hope, right? There was no hope. Zero. And he said, we held fast our profession of faith that Jesus is Lord over this brain tumor. She's healed. And he said, 8 days before that surgery, I put up this big banner in the hotel, in the hospital room, no wavering allowed. That was the sign. And he said, I let nobody in the room. I didn't want anybody going in there patting on her and telling her, oh, I'm so sorry. And so forth. I don't want, he said, being sorry never got anybody healed. Whimpering never got anybody healed. No wavering. And so he said, they prepped her, brought her into the surgery room. And he said, after 5 or 6 hours, the lead surgeon came out and said, I don't know, but whatever was there is not there anymore. Something that was inoperable, they couldn't find. No wavering. He said, we held fast the profession of our faith that Jesus is Lord over this sickness. He defeated it. That's our words. That's our profession of faith. So that needs to be ours. When we're confronted with situations, Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over this. Hallelujah. And so, what does that mean? It just means that he's the victor. He's the victor over it. You could say he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of the universe. Isn't he? It's undisputed. He is Lord. Jesus is Lord. So, here's something, some thoughts that we talked about on Wednesday, and we're going to expand a little bit. And go back to Hebrews 4:14. We're going to read that, and then we'll read Hebrews 3:1. It says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. I was sharing this on Wednesday. I never really looked into it, but recently I was looking at, well, what does my name mean? You're known by what you profess. So I was looking that up, and of course, you know, we know this back in earlier times, people were known by how they were named. Their name meant something. And so I was looking up recently, and so I Googled part of my name. And actually, my name, I didn't realize this, my name meant something of the profession that it represented. So when you look up, my name is spelled P-F-U-N-D-S-T-E-I-N. So you think, well, that sounds Jewish, or that's just, how do you even say that? But if you look up on Google, if you look up P-F-U-N-D, it's a measure of weight. A fund is so many, I don't even remember how much it weighs, but it's a weight, it's a measure, and a stein is a stone. So what it meant was, as a profession, you know, like somebody who might be a shoemaker, so their name was shoemaker. So a Funstein was someone who actually measured things with stones, with scales. That was the name, that was your profession. So my point in saying all of that was that you were known by your name. You are known by your profession. Profession of what? Your profession of faith. You are a what? A Christian. And so that's where sometimes people say, well, you're a Christian? So your profession doesn't match up with something, with what's coming out of your mouth and your actions. So they look at you and they go, that doesn't match. So you are known by your profession. So what does that mean? Profession really just simply means your lifestyle. You're known by your lifestyle or your profession of faith. So if you are in a profession, and this is where we got over into this Wednesday, if you are in a profession, you are known, you are publicly known by that profession. So if you are in a profession, you are publicly known by that profession. So I started to just walk down that thought. If you're in a profession, that makes you a professional, not an amateur. An amateur is somebody who's not good enough at something to make a living. But we're not amateurs. How can you be an amateur when you've professed Jesus as Lord? He said, hold fast to your profession. And so, when you're a professional, and I shared on Wednesday, you make a living at it. And you are very observant about details, aren't you? If you're a professional. You keep your eyes on details. You train. You're very observant about things. If you get good enough as a professional, you may even have a coach. And if you have a coach, you really can't be objective about your own self. That's what you got a coach for. Like, well, I'm good. Yeah, but that's, if you have a coach, that coach says, yeah, you're good, but if you change this, you'd reach some championship form. Well, in the kingdom of God, God has sent apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers as our coaches to help us get into championship form. Does that make sense to you? So if you're a professional at faith, that means you're a student of the word. That means you attend to details. You study it. And who are you really studying? Jesus. He was our champion. He was the one that had the championship form. He was our prototype. And so whenever he confronted the devil, we can see, how did he do that? That's the championship form that we should have. Hold fast the profession of your faith in Christ. Hebrews chapter 3, let's look at that in verse 1. Hebrews 3, verse 1. says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." He's our what? Apostle and high priest. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Look at Hebrews 10. Verse 23, it says, "Let us," what? "Hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised." So we're to do what? Hold fast. Hold fast the profession of your faith. Even when it looks like there's no way you can succeed, you're to hold fast to your profession of faith. Now I'll say that, and we're to hold fast. But if the Holy Ghost is going to give you some direction, be open for direction. Right? Don't be so dug in that you're not going to change or shift. I'm talking about giving you some specific directions. I'm not talking about something that conflicts with the Word of God. You know, so when you are a professional, you're known by that profession. You know, when you think about it, I'm looking over here at Deacon Tony. I'm not going to call him, but I had a thought over here that he went into the armed services. He was not an amateur. He was a professional fighter. I'm assuming he liked to fight. Because if you sign up, you're not in the National Guard. You know, I'm not signing up to see the world and get an education. So when you sign up to the military, there's a different mentality. There's a different attitude. Somebody who pursues that, somebody who likes to fight. They have to. They like that profession. And so, It's the same thing. If your life depended, think about this, if your life depended on a doctor to give you open heart surgery, you wouldn't want an amateur. You wouldn't want somebody who did it part-time or had another side job if your life depended on it. Or if you were needed a lawyer and your life was on the line, and it was up, and you maybe were being charged with 30 years or something, you wouldn't want an amateur lawyer. You wouldn't want a court-appointed clerk or somebody who's just in college and just, you know, putting some time in. No, I want a real lawyer. I want a professional. Right? And so it's the same thing. If you're a Christian, this isn't something that we do part-time on Sunday. This is something we do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Every day, every hour. I'm what? I'm a professional. This isn't a part-time thing. So we're to hold fast to that. The profession of our faith. Hallelujah. So it's going to have to be your lifestyle. That means you get up thinking about it. You know, when you're a professional, don't you? If that's your job, you get up thinking about it. Sometimes you go to bed thinking about it. Sometimes you're thinking about it while you eat. Isn't that true? How much more as a Christian? Isn't that true? We ought to be thinking about it all the time. Meditating upon it. And what does it say? Hold fast to your profession of faith that you declared publicly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody getting anything out of that? See, because if you don't, and this is why I wanted to show that clip to start with. When you looked at Stephon Curry's life now, everybody's making this big deal. He's been doing it. He's been doing it since high school, college. They said, he's just on a bigger stage. But he's been developing these habits since he's a young boy. So are your habits today on par with your dreams tomorrow? See, that was the point of showing that. What habit? The confession of your faith. You can't continue to talk about the problem. That's developing another kind of habit. So you want to have success. You want to have prosperity. That needs to have been developed. And folks think, well, let me ask this question. Do you think he could have had the level of success that he's experiencing now and just start? No. See, sometimes, well, I've been confessing the word for 6 months. Yeah, and keep doing it. Keep confessing the word. Keep meditating on the word. Keep doing it, and you'll reach that level of success. But everybody wants the success, but they don't want to put in the time. That's everybody, as they say, everybody wants to be an Olympic star, but they don't want to put in the time. They want the success, but they don't put in the effort. And so for us, we need to do what? Hold fast. Don't loosen your grip. Everything that pertains to life and godliness, isn't that what it says in 2 Peter? Is in Christ. He's given it to us. He's given them to us in these precious promises. And so as we feed upon them, as we hold tightly to them, and we profess them and release them in faith, they'll come to pass. What does it say? Be not weary in well-doing, but you shall reap if you faint not. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he reap. God's not mocked. So that means if you hold tightly, he's not going to be mocked.
Amen.
His word's not going to be mocked. You know, I was reading this yesterday, just a little story. It was about this story of this woman in a Muslim country. And she had a visitation from the Lord. And she accepted Christ. She said, you know, he appeared to her. And she was in a, and this is true, this is going on now. She's in a very devout, conservative Muslim environment. So she, after she had this conversion, she got up and started telling her family, I'm a Christian now. And they, you know, just like in the old time, they stripped their clothes and they said, we're going to kill you. And they did. They, and not killed her, but they, what they did was, they stripped, this is what they did. This is the kind of the harshness. They stripped her naked, this is a family, stripped her naked, stuck her in a metal chair, and hooked it up to an outlet. They said, we're going to kill you right now. And she said, can I just have the Bible? So she said, put the Bible on my lap. And they had her tied. And she said she was able to touch the Bible. They plugged in the cord 4 times, and it wouldn't work. Hold fast. Hold fast. I don't care what it looks like. Hold fast. And that's what she did. They plugged it in, nothing. Plugged it in, nothing. Plugged it in, nothing. Plugged it in, nothing. And the father got frustrated, said, get out of here. And then they, you know, they, whatever, they locked her up, they kept her on house arrest, whatever, but they couldn't kill her. Couldn't kill her. So that's what I'm saying. God is not mocked. He's not mocked. And so hold fast, even in the face of death. Death hath no victory. Even if they took your life, death still has no victory. Because the resurrection life is in me. All you did was terminate my body, but my spirit is alive. My spirit is alive unto Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we need to hold fast. Hold fast. In the face of problems, hold fast. Glory to God. Hold fast. Don't let your confession slip. Don't let your faith in Christ slip. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me just read these. These are some thoughts here. We'll pick this up again on Wednesday. These are things that other men and women of God have shared. Some of them by E.W. Kenyon, some by Smith Wigglesworth. These are sayings, some by Brother Hagin. But I believe they're worth sharing. Number one, your confession builds the road over which faith carries its mighty cargo. Your confession builds the road over which your faith carries its mighty cargo. Our confessions rule us. What you're saying about yourself and your future. Your faith will never rise above your confession. Or you could say your faith will rise to your confession. God can be no bigger in you than you confess him to be. He can be no bigger in you than what you see him as or confess him to be. Many Christians are weak, though they are sincere, because they lack a bold confession of who they are in Christ. What do we mean by that? You need to have some confessions of the Word of what God says you are in Christ, in him, in Christ. I am his workmanship. I am redeemed in him. So some of these professions of faith. He is, even in the Old Testament, he is my shepherd, I shall not want. And profess those. Meditate upon them. So when you run into a problem, you are reminded of who you are. Wait a minute. Who's in me? No. So we need to make a bold profession. The word will heal you if you will continually confess it. And I say continually. Nothing will establish or build your faith as quickly as confession. Nothing will build your faith as quickly as confession. Nothing will establish or build your faith as quickly as confession. Your success and usefulness in this world is measured by your confession and the tenacity with which you hold fast to that confession. So when I look at circumstances, what am I going to say? What do you say? You're going to say what the Word says, and you're going to hold fast to that. That my confession is, Jesus is Lord, has redeemed me from Satan's dominion. I'm redeemed. The power of the blood has redeemed me. Sometimes we don't think. Well, I've had a few experiences. I'm thinking of one right now. I've shared it before, but when I was living at home, one of my sisters was being married, and still married to this gentleman. have three wonderful children. They live in Chile, Santiago. And she married a Chilean. And so we were in the house, and they were at a bridal shower. And so I'm reading the word. I'm just meditating on it, feeding on it. And he comes into the room. Actually, I was in my bedroom. He came in, he was chatting, talking. And the more I talked, something didn't feel right. And so he said, well, can we go into the dining room and talk? I said, sure. So we're in there talking. And the more we talked, it caught me almost by surprise. He jumped up from the table and got this close in my face, just like this, and beat his chest with just red eyes. It was devilish. He said, the devil lives in here. Just that loud, boisterous, got right up here. And just, I remember it like yesterday, it was like a coat dropped on me. Just that quick. And the peace of God and the boldness rose up from here. Just instant. And that, you don't have time to think. Somebody's here, they're beating their chest, you don't have time to think, and the sword, it came right up out of here. It said, I'm not afraid of demons or devils, I'm protected by the blood of Jesus. That's what I said. The blood, the blood, the blood. And this is what he did. He turned his head and walked out the room and wouldn't look at me for 3 days. If I came into the room, he wouldn't look at me. You know why? He knew who I was. He knew. He knew who was in me. And so the blood and the profession of who I am in Christ, the devils must bow.
Amen.
Don't be afraid of confrontation. Don't be afraid. Let the Holy Ghost rise up big in you. This wasn't something that came out of my head, fleshy. Oh no, it was sword. And it cut like a sword. So we need to hold fast the profession of our faith. Don't lose hold of it in the face of contradictory circumstances. You know, doctors may tell you, you're not going to live. It's not possible. No wavering allowed. No wavering allowed. They may tell you that there's no way you can ever have anything because of your credit. No wavering allowed.
Hallelujah.
No wavering allowed. No wavering allowed. Trust in him. Lean not to your own understanding. Hold tightly to your profession of faith that Jesus is Lord. He's Lord over this circumstance, and I put my trust in him and his word. Hallelujah. We have to constantly, you know, because we live in these bodies, your mind will tell you and talk to you, this is not going to work. It can't happen. You're going down. You're going to lose. I can't lose because of who I am in Christ. I can't lose. We may miss it. But all we need to do is just, if we've done something, ask God for forgiveness. What does he say? See, one thing, here's something that we need to keep in mind. And I'll close with this. If we miss something, what does it say? It says, if we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness, or cleanse us, forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It doesn't say to hold fast to that, does it? It says you confess it one time. You confess that, and he says he's faithful and just to forgive you. The problem is people are holding on to that and letting go of what they should be holding on to.
Yes, sir.
They're holding on to keep confessing the problem. I'm missing it. I feel like I'm missing it. I'm, and I keep confessing that when God says, look, you confessed it. I forgave it. Let it go. Amen. And he's saying, hold fast to your profession of faith. Most folks got it reversed. We need to hold fast our profession of faith that we've professed, not confession of sin. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So how many professionals of faith do I have in here? Oh yeah, we're professionals at this. We've got coaches. We got the Holy Ghost to coach us, to help us into victory. We're not amateurs. This isn't a weekend thing. This isn't a Sunday morning thing. This is a Monday through Sunday thing. 365 day a year thing. We're growing in faith. We attend to the minutest thing, the littlest thing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless God. So we're going to get a grip on this lip and say the things that God says and not let loose of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together. Father, we're focusing on improving our speech and what comes out of this mouth. And we say what you say. We say what your word says. And when we miss it, reveal it to us. You're our coach. Show us where we miss things. Reveal that to us. Help us to grow and to improve. In Jesus' name, amen.